Well, good morning, everyone. My name is Ron Meyer, and privileged to be here, where we're recognizing not only athletes, but the faith lives of those athletes that we're recognizing today as well. I am the host of Blessed to Play. It's a sports radio show on EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network, and I started it 2 years ago out of an inspiration that I thought that athletes in our society are so much recognized for their talents alone and not their faith lives, so I was able to have a platform via radio where I could interview athletes on their careers, because that is part of their life, but on their faith lives as well. So I'm happy to say I've had over 80 interviews now with many, not many, but a few people in this room have come on the show. Hope to get some more. And I enjoy doing it. It's been a great blessing in my life. The program can be heard, as I said, on over 210 affiliates with EWTN on Sirius 130. iHeartRadio, and if you have a Roku box, you can pick it up there as well. I'd like to welcome all of you today to this Sports Faith International event. And right now I'm going to call up a person that I did interview on my radio show, Father Burke Masters, who is a Mississippi State Bulldog. I believe it was called A Shot Heard Around Mississippi when he played for the Bulldog baseball team that launched his team into the College World Series. But he followed God's call as a convert, and now he is a Catholic priest, and he's going to open up this event with prayer this morning. Father Burke.
Let's begin in prayer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Lord, we give you thanks and praise for this beautiful day and this opportunity to gather together in your name. We ask you to send down your Holy Spirit upon all of us gathered here this morning. Fill us with the gifts of faith, hope, and love. Guide all of our conversations. Let all that we do and say honor you and your name. We also thank you for the gift of sports and all the things that sports teach us. We ask all this through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you, Father Burke. Before we get started, I'd like to congratulate all the hometown heroes, the inductees and their families. Would all the honorees and inductees please rise, and let's give them a round of applause as they do so. Also, like to call out some of the folks joining us today. Dave Casper is a NFL Hall of Famer, longtime Raider. We held a panel discussion last night. He joined us as well for that. So, Dave Casper. Sister Stephanie Severson from Open Wheels Racing. Where are you, sister? You could stand up after your name's announced so everyone can know who you are. All right, there you are. Oh, we got a cop in the house here. Sheriff Mark Curran. State Representative Joanne Osmond. The Honorable Thomas Shippers. And another honorable, Thaddeus Matchnick. Also, Patricia Bainbridge from Human Life International. She is the chairman of that organization. Bonnie Quirk from Lake County Right to Life. Connie and Kathleen Murphy and Marianne Harold of WQPH Catholic Radio in Massachusetts. Linda and Ben Ruff, also John French from Relevant Radio. Teresa Lewis from Great Lakes Naval Base. And we have an NFL player, a Buffalo Bill, Carolina Panther, and Packer great Don Beebe. Also joining us is His Excellency Bishop Pap Rocky. And also he completed a new book, Holy Goals for the Soul, which is being sold today by his publisher, Ave Maria Press, in the entrance of the hall. I believe he will sign it for you there, if I'm not mistaken. Bishop Pap Rocky, there he is. Am I right, 19 marathons?
19, right.
I called Bishop Pap Rocky's secretary trying to get him on Blessed to Play. And when I called, she said he would be on the treadmill for the next 6 hours. So I'm glad you're here in person. Well, today I'm delighted to introduce you to Sports Faith Hall of Fame 2012 inductees, Dr. Audrey Zavatsky. I had the pleasure of, she was on our panel last night, and she's an accomplished professional race car driver. Some of her racing accomplishments include a women's global GT championship, Panas GT wins. She was the first woman to lead a lap in the Grand Am at Daytona. She's the first female Bondurant instructor. A 2012 inductee to the Sports Faith Hall of Fame, Dr. Zavatsky depends on her Catholic faith both on and off the track. And I believe we have a presentation.
Thank you, Ron. First, I want to congratulate all of the people that are being awarded today and also inducted. My hat's off to you that you live your faith, you openly live it. And that's what we're here to do, to evangelize and show our faith to other people, that it can be done, we can be true to our faith. It was an honor to be inducted last year. And I'm glad to be back here again celebrating this with you this year. I do want to show you a clip that kind of summarizes some of what I've been involved in. It starts off with an interview at the Super Bowl in San Diego. Then it shows you some cars that I have driven, some in-car footage I have raced. You'll actually see an accident where the hood is loosened and it flies off. That is at 135 miles an hour, pretty exciting. Anyway, I finished that race fifth. I was battling for third place at the time of the accident. And then I had the opportunity, I was blessed to actually fly in an F-16 with the United States Air Force Thunderbird. So you will see that in-flight coverage as well. So please.
It's exciting to share my experiences with the kids, to tell them that they can do whatever they want to, and if they may run into some obstacles, but don't get down because of that, learn from that, and go on and achieve the goals that they're
having. Autograph it, and he had told me he came 5 hours to see me race, and I didn't let him down. He was really excited about that.
The car handles great. First of all, I want to thank God for this opportunity to be here. I want to thank the guys and everyone that was.
It's just an addiction. It's amazing what you do with the car and how it performs. It's just fascinating to me. So I don't want to let that get away.
Thank you.
So there it is. Thank you. And none of that would be possible without God. Thanks be to God for providing me the opportunities that he has to be able to do that, to be able to openly profess my faith. But I'm very thankful for that. I want to share with you some of the treasures that we have in the Catholic faith, in the Catholic Church. Number one, in all my travels around the country, around the world, I see testimony that there is one true Catholic Church. No matter what country it is, when we go to Mass, it is the same way every single place. It's in a different language, but how wonderful religion that we have, that there is that consistency. And we trace it all the way back, of course, to Christ. I go to daily Mass as much as I can, and I encourage all of you and the young people to go to daily Mass. It energizes you. It centers you. It gives you that power and the strength to be able to go out and live our faith. I also check on masstimes.org, great website anytime you're traveling to check on the Mass times. We have many treasures in our Catholic faith, and one of them is communion. Without the priests and the power of the Holy Spirit, we would not be able to have the consecrated host available to us. So we thank God for priests, and we hope that there are more priests, and we hope that there are young men in this audience that are called to become priests. You know, another powerful aspect of our church and our faith is the Blessed Mother. She is a true mother. She is there to help us, to bring us to God. She gives us the rosary. I encourage every one of you to pray the rosary daily. I pray it. I pray it many times. I pray it before going out on the track, whatever I can. But very powerful for us. Another gem is the sacrament that we have in confirmation and reconciliation. We are the only faith that has that sacrament available to us. And, you know, remember in the upper room when Jesus was with his apostles, he says, Peter, you are my rock and I'll build my church. Then he said to all of them, whatever you loosed on earth or forgive on earth will be forgiven in heaven. Whatever is not forgiven on earth will not be forgiven in heaven. So what a powerful sacrament we have available to us, and we need to take advantage of it. Yes, you know, I'm a sinner. I keep falling back. I'm human. You feel like a broken record when you go to confession that you're saying these things over and over. But God understands, and he's trying to help us. So we have that sacrament available, and I encourage all of you to utilize that sacrament as often as you can. You know, another powerful being that we have available to us is our guardian angel. It's like having a best friend with you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, an extra pair of hands. Call upon your guardian angel to help you. Believe me, I have called upon my guardian angel so many times on the racetrack. Actually, at work, if I have a deadline that I have to achieve, or if I'm struggling out on the track, I call upon my guardian angel and the Holy Spirit to help me. And it's amazing the power that they elicit, that they can actually help us out. I want to share with you a few race stories where I definitely have had divine intervention between the Holy Spirit and my guardian angel. And there have been many of them, but I just share with you two. One was last year in Michigan, Grand Rapids, where I actually was first in my class of cars. I was racing a Mustang. Started the race, and I had this white puff of smoke coming out of my the exhaust. Then as the race continued, the smoke got worse and worse. Actually, it was coming out of my engine compartment. By the end of the race, I finished the race. I finished first in my class. My mechanic checked it out, and there were only a few drops of oil in the engine. So tell me, was that not divine intervention or in someone helping me out? I could not have done it otherwise. So very thankful on that. Another event happened in Sebring, Florida, where I started the race third, ended up getting hit. It's a road course. Ended up falling to last. Had damage to my car, parts of my car falling off. I ended up finishing second. Came into the pits, I had a crowd gather around me. My mechanics were scratching their head. There was a crack in the rim of the wheel, straight across. There was a piece of the rim missing. I should not have lasted more than 5 minutes out on the track, but I lasted the entire race. So just a few examples of the power of the Holy Spirit and also your guardian angels. Also, I just want to focus and spend a little bit of time on the saints. You know, these are ordinary people that lead extraordinary lives, and we should all aspire to be saints. We have had a few among us, Mother Teresa, Pope John Paul II, on his way to sainthood. So we should all be driven to do good. I am by no means a saint, but I aspire to be one, and I would love to be one, but I have had some times where I've been driven without even thinking, without even saying something, you end up doing something, and I feel that we're driven by the Holy Spirit to do those things. So I want to share with you the routine that I go through before I go out on the track. From the minute that I put my racing suit on to before I go out there in the competition, I wear my what I call a 3-in-1. It's my rosary with the holy face of Jesus with the brown scapular of Mount Carmel. I have that on all the time to protect me. I bless myself with holy oil. It may be from Padre Pio, from Blessed Mother, from the Trinity, but I feel that is very powerful. I call upon all the angels and saints to help guide me. I say my act of contrition, of course, and it'll be whatever time God wants me to go. If it's on the racetrack, so be it. If it's not, so be it. But I always want to be prepared. I call upon my guardian angel along with St. Christopher to guide me, St. Anthony to find a way for me out there on the track, St. Michael, St. Joan of Arc to protect me in battle, because it is a battle out there. Also, I call upon all the angels and saints and all the holy souls in purgatory. So I have everyone busy out there praying for me, and I'm eliciting everyone's help, because I can't do it without that help. So I also ask God to fuse his will with mine, whatever he wants me to be. So, again, this is just an example of how I live my faith, how I'm able, with the help of God, the Holy Spirit, all the angels and saints, that I'm able to do what I can do. So you may encounter some problems in life, but thank God for our faith that we can fall back on that. And today is what's promised to us. Tomorrow is a gift. So let's make the most of it. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So God bless you and God bless America.
Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Savatsky, for that witness of faith. Greatly appreciate it. I'd like to call up to the podium Father Jacob Dumont. He's a Legionaries of Christ priest and the chaplain of Chicagoland's Sports Leader Program to lead us in grace before meals.
Good morning, everyone. So let us begin with the sign of the cross. And just before we bless ourselves, I would like to invite you every time that we make the sign of the cross, really to make that act of faith. Dr. Audrey Zavatsky gave us yesterday in a small testimony how important that is when we sign ourselves, blessing ourselves in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And what a testimony that can be to those who are out in the world. I remember once we were at a restaurant with a big group of teenage young men. And, when we all prayed, some of them were kind of like swatting flies, to make the sign of the cross. It's sometimes difficult in public, and yet, how often that can be a true testimony. And right there afterwards, a number of people came up and said, I'm Catholic. Thank you for that testimony. It's so, beautiful to see young men in public praying, blessing God for the faith that they have received, through baptism. So as we begin with the sign of the cross, let us really make that act of faith, placing ourselves in God's presence. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for allowing us to come together today to witness our faith and to see and thank those who have also been testimonies of their faith. This year, Pope Benedict has dedicated to the Year of Faith. He has invited us to grow in our faith, to grow especially in our relationship with you. And I'm going to read now just a small section of his letter to faith that he wrote this year. During this time, we will need to keep our gaze fixed upon Jesus Christ, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. In him, all the anguish and all the longing of the human heart finds fulfillment. The joy of love, the answer to the drama of suffering and pain, the power of forgiveness in the face of an offense received, and the victory of life over the emptiness of death. All this finds fulfillment in the mystery of his incarnation, in his becoming man, in his sharing of our human weakness so as to transform it by the power of the resurrection. And let us thank our Lord for this great gift of faith, and let us ask a blessing upon all of us present here that we will continue to grow, especially during this period of Lent, in that spirit of faith. And we also ask a blessing on this food. Bless us, O Lord, in these thy gifts, which we are about to receive from thy bounty through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you. Right now.
Thank you, Father Jacob. Well, ladies and gentlemen, our keynote speaker today, I had the privilege of interviewing on my Blessed to Play show, and I can tell you you're in for quite a treat. She is a two-time Olympic swimmer who competed in the Beijing and London Games. She has won 9 national titles, 15 medals in major international competition, including 8 goals. And she is the current world record holder in the 1,500-meter freestyle. And I asked her yesterday, I said, Kate, that record, what was your time? How much did you beat the previous record by? She said 10 and a half seconds. And I thought she misspoke. I thought it was going to be like a tenth of a second, but it's 10 and a half seconds. Unbelievable. Her witness of faith is it's a real journey, and I don't want to take her thunder, so I'm going to introduce Kate Ziegler.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me here today, and congratulations to all the inductees. It's really an honor. You know, one of my very favorite scriptures is Jeremiah 29:11-13. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future, and then you will call upon me, you'll come, you'll pray to me, I will listen. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. That's one of my favorite scriptures, and it's also one of the very first I ever memorized. You see, when I was younger, and even to today, my mom would always write on a little index card various scriptures for me to take with me on my travels. Remind me, ground me in my faith before my races, when I was anxious, when I couldn't sleep at night, when my heart was beating so fast before my races that I thought I might have a panic attack. But these scriptures grounded me. Now, that's a great message, and that's a great thing to do, but I look back on my journey, and I think, just how often did I really stop and truly trust in God's plan for me? And how often was my vision clouded by the desires of my own heart? You see, as any athlete, you, I'm sure, understand, you want to win. You want to break records. You want to get the medal haul. You want to be the very best. And when your definition of success is not met, when the results don't meet your plan, how often do we say, God, where were you? What were you doing? How often are we selfish and we say, I'm really upset right now because I didn't get what I wanted? Well, oftentimes in our journeys, we don't get what we want, and our expectations aren't met, and we have surprises and stumbling blocks that we're faced with. You know, it's interesting, I look back, my journey in swimming certainly hasn't gone as planned. I almost didn't even join the swim team because I was so terrified. I was 6 years old, going on seven, and my parents suggested, hey, Kate, why don't you join the swim team? You love the sport. You love the water. You could, you know, you'll make lots of friends. It would be a great thing for you to do over the summer. And I, being the timid, scared child that I was, I said, absolutely not. I might drown. The coach might be mean. No one's going to like me. I had 101 reasons why I couldn't do it. And they said, they encouraged me, and they said, you don't have to do it, but we'll encourage you. We think you would enjoy it. We think you'd do great. And it was actually not until I was at the summer league pool one day, seeing the other kids on the team trying on the brand new swim team swimsuit. It was, give you a visual, it was red, blue, and black with fireworks on it. It's beautiful, beautiful thing in a six, seven-year-old's eyes. Well, I begged my parents, can I please have the suit? Can I please, please, please? Just like we might beg God for all these things we want. Mom, Dad, can I please have the suit? And they said, no, you have to be a member of the team. That's the only way you get it. I said, you know, being the immature child, I'm sure I threw a little bit of a fit. Well, they finally caved and they said, okay, we'll make a deal with you. All you have to do is just go to the beginning of the swim team, beginning of the year banquet, meet the coach, 5 minutes, grab a hot dog, we'll be out of there. You get the suit. Because they knew, as parents tend to know, what's best for us. And they said, they knew that if I just got there, just gave it a try, I would fall in love with it. And here I am standing in front of you, almost 20 years into my swimming career, still doing it, and the rest is history, as they say. Now, my rise to success was quite quick, and it was expected in my eyes. My plan was, well, I'm swimming faster and faster every year. I've had a lot of success. What's the end result? It's going to be going to the Olympics, and it's going to be winning a gold medal. That's just what you do. Well, unless you're Michael Phelps, apparently, you get 20 of those. But for everyone else, it doesn't always happen that way. And that's what happened with me. In 2007, I was having the year of my life. I had won world championships in both my events. I had broken world records. I was on fire. Felt like I could do anything. But the tricky thing with success is that oftentimes with success comes expectations. Expectations of what others want you to do, think you can do, the media, my parents, my coaches, my friends, my teammates. All these expectations started weighing on me so profoundly. And by the end of 2007, going into 2008, preparing for the Olympics, I was miserable. I hated swimming. I wanted to quit, but what are you going to do? 5 months out, 6 months out, I give up on a dream? Well, I didn't see that as an option. So I just put my head down, stared at that black line at the bottom of the pool, and kept on going. I made it to the Olympics in both my events, but wasn't able to enjoy the experience at all. And I left the Beijing Olympics after being a favorite in both my events to win gold, not even making it to finals. I was heartbroken, disappointed, embarrassed. I just failed in front of the whole entire world. And I was angry. I was angry at God because I felt like, hey, I've done everything right. I did everything you asked me. Why didn't you come through for me? Where were you? And so instead of calling out to him and asking him for guidance, I turned my back on him. And I figured, you know, he doesn't care about me. He doesn't love me. If he loved me, I would have a gold medal around my neck right now. Selfish, but true. And so for the next year or so, I kind of did my own things. I wasn't a bad kid, but I wasn't professing my faith. I wasn't practicing. I had a couple times friends ask me to go to church with them on campus, and I would go, but very much just go through the motions. Sure. Offer up a couple Hail Marys. My mom tried to encourage me, give me scriptures again, but I didn't want to listen. It wasn't until 2010 when I moved to California, relocated teams, and moved in with a host family temporarily who had a very strong Catholic background that I came back to my faith. And over the next 2 years, leading up to the 2012 Olympics, I felt a new resolve, a new fire in my heart. I searched out for God, came through with that, with communication to him every day, pulled out my devotional, went to church, regardless of whether the family I was living with made it or not, you know, I was always there. And so when 2012 Olympic trials came around, I felt in a good place. It was a full 360 turnaround from the previous Olympics. I was inspired, and I felt God's presence, and I thought, this is it. I made the team, was so excited. Training camp was great in Tennessee and then France, and then we traveled to London, and it was incredible. Well, I'll tell you this one thing. Opening ceremonies, I don't know if I've ever felt so close to God. You see, from the Olympic Village, we have about a 3/4 mile walk to the stadium to get to the opening ceremonies. And the whole team was gathered together, and I had 3 of my really good friends from the team who were also participating in a Bible study that we'd put together in the Olympic Village. And so we all together were walking to the stadium, and as we got closer and closer, we could hear the hushed roar of the crowd, see the blue lights and the flashing lights of the photography, and hearts are pounding, and enter into the stadium and start chanting, the whole team, USA, USA, USA. We have goosebumps. It's electric. Well, as we walk into the stadium and they announce, welcome, the United States of America. Never have I had such a sense of pride, such a sense of God hugging me and saying, Kate, it's all going to be okay. Well, my friend Kathleen Hersey even grabbed my hand, and we're jumping up and down like little 5-year-olds on Christmas Day. She says, Kate, can't you feel him? I'm like, what? This is a God moment. You feel him. I absolutely did. And I thought, this is my moment. It's all going to be okay. Well, we don't always, again, plans don't always come the way we expect them to go. And I woke up the next morning with aches, the base of my spine, and aches turned into chills, and I told myself, you will not get sick. This doesn't happen. 2 times, it does not happen. Well, aches turned into a fever and a stomach bug, and 4 days later, after spending most of my time in bed, splashing around in the water, but not really eating, I competed poorly. Completely disappointed, didn't make finals again, left London now, heartbroken, disappointed, embarrassed, and feeling now like a 2-time Olympic failure. Well, the one thing I can say from this is 2012, at least I had that strong faith behind me, because this time I didn't turn my back on God. Instead, I called out to him, and I was honest, and I said, God, you walked on water, okay? You parted seas. You raised from the dead. You could not just get me out of my bed and swim, all right? Like, you couldn't have just made me healthy? Come on. Come on. I'm not asking for much. But I was honest, and I said, I'm angry, and I'm lost, and I am confused, and I do not know what your plan is, but clearly we are not communicating because my plan does not match yours. But I learned through these ups and these downs, even more from my disappointments and my successes, that the road is not always easy, but the road shapes us into who we are. You know, I got this email about a story of a man who is, God calls out to him, and he says, I want you, look outside and you see that big boulder. I want you to push against that boulder day in and day out. You push as hard as you can. Being the obedient Catholic that he is, okay, I'll do it. Day after day, month after month, year after year, he pushes and pushes and pushes. Well, the boulder is not moving. He is tired. He retires every night, exhausted, thinking, oh, this is what God wants to do. Well, seeing that weakness, Satan comes and whispers in his ear, what are you doing? You're not making any progress. You're not going anywhere. This is impossible. Starts to think, oh, maybe it is. But he asks God, and he says, God, this seems impossible. What am I doing? What am I doing wrong? Clearly, something's going wrong. Clearly, I'm not listening. Clearly, our plans are not matching up. And he says, no, you did exactly as I asked. You were obedient, you listened, you pushed, and now look at yourself. You're so much stronger, you're so much more resilient, you have faith. God tests us. He puts boulders in our way. It's how we respond to those boulders. Do we keep pushing? Do we keep strengthening? Do we keep our resolve in our faith? Or do we give up, throw up our hands, throw up the white flag, and just run off to something easier? Well, that's what Satan wants us to do, isn't it? But that's not what God asks. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. God, just like my parents, when they suggested I join the swim team and I thought that it was the worst idea I'd ever heard and it was scary and it was terrifying and it was going to hurt and people might be mean. God loves us. He loves me more than my parents can love me, and that's hard for me to believe, but He would never throw something in my way that I can't deal with. He would never harm me unless it might hurt for a moment. You know, certainly when I touched that wall and saw my time at the Olympics, it hurt. But it's shaping me into who I am today. The end result might not always be there as we expect it. But with God, it's all perfect. It all works out. The one last quote scripture that I like. My mom gave this one to me as well. Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails, and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen, and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to tread on the heights. My prayer for all of you, especially you young people, my prayer for you is you hold steady in your faith with God. You trust in Him that He knows best. It is not easy. I am a testament to that. It's not easy to trust in Him, but with Him, it's perfect. You can't go wrong with God on your side. Might not always get that gold medal, might not always have that end result you expect, but at the end of the day, those disappointments, those difficult times are shaping you into the children of God that He wants you to be. The people who will change the world, who will impact, make a difference, and act out His plan. God loves us. And that's all we need, regardless of medals. Thank you.
Not only a champion of sport, but of faith as well. I think you would agree. I think we're going to take 10 minutes, enjoy your meal, and then we'll get back to the program. All righty, we're going to continue our program. There's a couple of folks that I'd like to recognize that I did not recognize before. And if you could stand up after I announce your name. Peter Breen, he's the trustee for the Village of Lombard. He's joining us today. And also Margie Breen, she's the Respect Life director for the Archdiocese of Chicago. Before we go into our hometown hero presentations or awards on behalf of Sports Faith International, I'd like to recognize and thank our sponsors for this event, Catholic Financial Life, Franciscan University of Steubenville, Lighthouse Catholic Media, Relevant Radio, Catholic Athletes for Christ, Impressions Count, Silo Pizza, Prayers for Life, Frank J. Casella pictures people listen to, and WSFI 88.5 Catholic Radio coming soon to Northern Illinois and Southern Wisconsin. Also, I'd be remiss if we do not thank our volunteers, but if you could stand as I announce your names and family too, the Webster family. Are you here, the Webster family? Dwight, I hope I do your last name justice here. Houchins?
Yes.
Bingo? Good, all right. Jim Rosenthal? Mary Ann Harold. Helen Sears. Betty Bruder. And the photographer, Gary Sarstuck. Tom Robinson. Jasper Thompson. This is interesting. John Zelensky, a.k.a. Man. Where's John? I want to see who a.k.a. Man is. Oh, John has left the building. Oh, there you are. Hi, John. George Bliss. Christina Pizzella. Bill Snyder. And the young Catholic advocates who are filming and conducting interviews today on behalf of Sports Faith International. I'd like to go into the Hometown Hero Awards, and I'm going to introduce Matt Tomlinson. He's an executive board member on Sports Faith International. Matt, I'm going to throw it over to you.
Thank you, thank you. Hi everybody, how you doing? Welcome to our event here for Sports Faith International and the Hometown Heroes. Can you all hear me? Alrighty. I want to get in a little skating frame of mind here. I just thought I'd share a little story here. To the left of me, you know, you've seen Bishop Aprocki and Carrie Fraser here. I just got to tell you, about, I don't know, 3 years ago, it was November, and it was snowing, it was dark night, it was a Sunday night, and we were having dinner at Trader Vic's with it was Pat McCaskey, you know, one of the owners of the Chicago Bears, Bishop Aprocki, Carrie Fraser, Father Ted Schmidt, and we had Ray McKenna, who is the founder of Catholic Athletes for Christ, myself, and Angela. So we were discussing Sports Faith International going forward, and so we're having dinner, and the cook from the Trader Vic's is, you know, hovering around the table, and so anyway, halfway through our dinner, the entire team of the Calgary Flames walks in and sits down like right next to us. There's about 15 of these guys, and I assume the coach and whatever, and so they come over. They immediately recognize Carrie. Being the respected person in the NHL that he is. And then he came over and he introduced him to Pat McCaskey, being an owner, so there's some more of the Calgary Flames come over, and then, you know, Bishop Aprocki, and, you know, they're mostly French-Canadian, so they're all Catholic anyway. So anyway, so they're all excited, and they come up, and we, anyway, so to make a long story short, they sit down, we finish our dinner, and we're walking out of the restaurant, and one of the Calgary Flames said, to Bishop Aprocki, says, could you please, you know, bless our team here, okay? So Bishop Aprocki, you know, goes to the end of the table, and he's, you know, and he does the blessing, and then he ends. He says, bless everything that you do and with the season, except for against the Chicago Blackhawks. So anyway, they were in town Sunday night to play the Blackhawks the next night on a Monday night. Now this is the beginning of the season that when the Blackhawks went to the won the Stanley Cup. So anyway, they play the Calgary Flames. Calgary Flames on that game jumped out to a 5-0 lead. So the Blackhawks came from behind in the third period and won that game 6-5, tying the all-time NHL comeback in the history of the NHL. So I emailed Bishop Bobrocky the next day, and so I said, "So Bishop, is this your first miracle?" So anyway, with that, I just thought I'd share that since they're both standing here, and if you remember that evening, that was quite an evening. So anyway, our first hometown hero for a Lifetime Achievement Award is Walter Red Bainbridge, coach in professional skating, named national and international medalist, instructor, and judge. Now the challenge for me here is to keep these intros brief, which became a daunting task when it comes to the extensive contributions to the world of professional skating by Red. Red began skating in 1936 at the age of 6. As a competitor, he competed in singles, pairs, and dance, which he became the most well-known for. Red was an auxiliary member of the 1948 Olympic team, a 2-time North American dance champion, 3-time national dance champion, national silver champion, national junior pairs champion, and national junior men's silver medalist. Then he decided to turn pro. Red has coached young skaters who obtained USFSA gold medals in figures, freestyle, and dance. He coached skaters that became regional, sectional, and national medal winners and champions, and a couple were bronze and silver medalists in the World Figure Skating Championships. Red has instructed skaters and participated in programs in more cities and more countries than I can mention, and has been written in about more publications than I can list. Red was named to the Washington Figure Skating Club's National and International Hall of Fame. Red was named to the into the Professional Skaters Association Hall of Fame in 2009. The Buffalo Skating Club in 1998 presents the annual Bainbridge Trophy to the beginner skater who demonstrates the most enthusiasm for figure skating. Although he was born into a loving and moral family, Red was not raised in any particular faith. In 1976, he became a born-again Christian. And on September 22nd, 2001, he and his wife entered the Catholic Church. After entering the faith, Red began his volunteer activities for the church and various charities. For 10 years, Red served on the board and as volunteer executive director for Christian Tapes for the Blind and Disabled. He has served on the board for numerous pro-life organizations, including Life Decisions International. He has volunteered for the Respect Life Office of the Catholic Diocese of Rockford for 10 years and presently serves Catholic Charities as a volunteer ombudsman for long-term care. Let's welcome Walter Red Bainbridge, 2013 recipient of Lifetime Achievement Award as coach, professional figure skating. Smile, look at that camera. There we go.
Beautiful.
All righty. There we go.
After that introduction, I'll tell you, if my fellow coaches and former pupils knew me prior to 1976 heard of this award, they would say, "What? Red Bainbridge? You'd be giving an award involving faith? You must be kidding." It just... You see, I had a great mother and father, but I was not raised really in a Catholic household. While God knew me, I didn't know Him. He gave me the ability to skate and to love the teaching, and I have been truly blessed to love going to work. It wasn't, as Matt pointed out, until May of 1976 that I declared my life to Christ. But the real step is in 1995 when I joined the Catholic Church. Before that time,
Before that time, I was told that I modeled a good work ethic, but I was selfish and had a quick temper. Believe it or not, I was a flaming redhead. It's Russ now, but... But after my conversion, my temper slowly got under control. Very slowly. Patricia backed that. God placed me in my heart a desire to serve others and a desire to work for a more just society. The thing I will remember most about my teaching career is not the medals or the titles that my pupils won, but the fact that they and or their parents let me know that I had modeled Christian values. Although I did not in my mind stress these values, the Lord seemed to use me to get his values out to my pupils. In my later years, I'm 82 now, and I taught for over 60 years. I've joined a barbershop chorus, and one of my favorite songs is, "I Did It My Way." But I really would like to think, "I Did It His Way." Thank you.
Let's hear it for Red again. All right, Mary Teresa Forsythe's not here, so I'm just going to skip on to the next person in your program. Is that right? Okay, good. I was told there's a scratch there. Is that what the race car drivers call it? Is that the scratch? Okay. Yes, huh? All righty. So, here we go. Ryan Healy. All righty. Wait, I got the right one. Thank you. Ryan Healy is a Hometown Hero Award 2013 Athlete of the Year, varsity soccer, and for outstanding leadership in sport and in the Catholic faith. Ryan is from Park Ridge, Illinois, and attends St. Ignatius College Prep in Chicago. Ryan Healy is a young man who truly exemplifies the term team player. He has played soccer for St. Ignatius since his freshman year. While being a co-captain, Ryan received the Sportsmanship Award in both junior and senior years. A positive player, whether on the field or on the bench, Ryan gives whatever it takes to help his team. Ryan's Catholic faith is an integral part of who he is on and off the field. Ryan has been on the honor roll for 4 years and in the National Honor Society his junior and senior years. Ryan's participation in community service includes working in a soup kitchen, participating in food and clothing drives, working Sundays at a nursing home, and he took a 10-day service trip to Philadelphia. Let's welcome Ryan Healy, his Hometown Hero 2013 Athlete of the Year Award from Illinois. He's not here either?
He's in the empty chair.
Oh, okay. Well, anyway, wherever you are, Ryan, congratulations. So I guess Grace was right. I should have the next award. Sorry, Grace. Love that name. Here we go. If you want to scratch that, I'm sure you'd like to. There you go. Thanks. Moving on, Patrick Lawler, Hometown Hero Award 2013, Athlete of the Year, Varsity Soccer, and for outstanding leadership in sport and in the Catholic faith. Patrick Lawler is from Lamont, Illinois, and attends Bennett Academy in Lisle, Illinois. Patrick plays soccer, club soccer for Team Chicago Inter FC. Did I say that right? Okay, good. In the premier level, and also swims competitively, going to the sectionals the past 3 years. Patrick is an outstanding soccer player and has overcome many injuries on his way to being named the ESCC All-Conference Soccer Team as a junior. Patrick has led his team in goals scored, which helped his teams to reach the playoffs and eventually capture the regional title. Patrick has joined the National Honor Society and is currently enjoying the equivalent of a 4.25 grade point average. Making honors throughout his high school career, Patrick will be taking four AP courses next year. Patrick says the most influential people in his life are Jesus Christ and his father. His father is the only obstetrical doctor in the state to follow the church entirely. I'm sure his father is the main reason Patrick is very interested in the pro-life cause. Patrick volunteers at Our Lady of the Angels Food Pantry, tutors grade school kids at the local daycare center, has served dinners to the poor for Catholic Charities in downtown Chicago. Patrick serves as lector and assists the deacon regularly at his church. Patrick places inspirational messages everywhere to remind him of God's grace, which keeps him going through his injuries and training. An inspiration to his coaches and teams, let's welcome Patrick Lawler, his hometown hero, 2013 Athlete of the Year.
Hold on to it, Matt.
There you are.
Hold on to that.
Okay.
There we go.
Okay.
Big
smile.
There we go. Thank you.
Wonderful.
Here you go.
Thank you.
Let me take this. Here, I'll say a couple of things.
Well, thank you, Mr. Matt Tomlinson, Mrs. Angela Tomlinson, and all of Sports Faith International for inviting me to be here today. And to all of you for sharing this moment with me. I'd also like to thank Father Jacob Dumont for really inspiring me, believing in me, and also nominating me for this award. When I first heard that I'd been nominated for Athlete of the Year, I felt so incredibly humbled. I remember learning that God will often choose the least likely among us to instead bring about the glory of God. And I thought to myself, how could I ever be exalted in a prestigious way such as this? I realized that only by the grace of God and the people around me could I ever come to this. God, is in his infinite goodness, has showered me with many graces. I mean, he is the reason we are here to celebrate such a great cause. First and foremost, I would like to thank my entire family. I have the greatest family in the world, and without them, I wouldn't be here today. So my parents support me in everything I work for. Even through the injuries, the tough decisions, and the stressful moments, they've been there for me. They are the perfect examples of how Christians and Catholics should live every aspect of their lives. I'd like to thank my older brother, Danny, for making me a strong athlete and a strong competitor. Danny and I are so competitive, so on the rare occasion I beat him in anything sports related, I never let it go. But he's definitely been the biggest inspiration in my athletic career. I'd like to highlight three coaches who have inspired me the most in high school. Coach Bob Gross is one of the greatest men I know, and I want to thank him for bringing hard work, faith, and soccer together in my life through his guidance and inspiration. Coach Sean Wesley, he's my varsity soccer coach, and he poured his heart and soul into our team last year, which brought about most of our success. And I want to thank him for inspiring me and showing me how to lead. The final coach is Coach Sarah Maggio. She was my varsity swim coach, and she taught me to keep sports really important in my life, but keep faith above it. She would always advocate, you know, go to mass, go to all your extra classes, keep your school grades up, and then sports. And that really has been an inspiration to me, and I thank her for it. My soccer team and my swim team had a lot of success this year because every teammate was involved entirely. I'd like to share just some of my teammates with you today. Brad Bozick brought our team together with his work ethic and positive attitude on and off the field. Steven Spittler challenged me every day in swim practice, swimming in the lane next to me, that I was able to reach limits that I never thought possible. And Robert Tomasek, he was a really solid Catholic, and he took me under his wing. He was also an incredible soccer player, captain of our team, and I really drew from him how to play soccer the right way, how to live the right way, and how to act and respect other people. So thank you to them. All of these people and countless more have aided me in ways I cannot begin to repay, so I thank to everyone. Finally, I want to commend my fellow inductees for their incredible achievements that earned them a place here. I can attest to the self-sacrifice and perseverance they had to go beyond what was expected and instead become models of Catholic athletes. I wish them all continued success in their athletic careers. Once again, thank you all for allowing me to be here. Go Bears.
Thank you. Way to go, Patrick. This holy water.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Joseph McMahon, Hometown Hero Award 2013, Male Athlete of the Year, and for outstanding leadership in sport and Catholic faith. Joseph is from Leaf River, Illinois, and attends Rockford Christian Sacred Heart Classical Center. Being the seventh oldest child in a family of 14, Joseph developed into an outstanding leader and role model on the playing field and in the walk of life. Joseph plays football and baseball for Rockford Christian and basketball for the Rockford Fire. Joseph has received the honors of Defensive Player of the Year on his football team at Rockford Christian and has led his team in tackles. Joe received the All-Conference Award for 2012 football season while taking part in the Academic Honor Roll at Rockford Christian. Joseph's community service includes collecting and delivering food items for the St. Vincent de Paul Society, volunteers for Special Olympics, and helps in fundraising for Helping Heart Orphan Ministries. Joseph is currently planning a trip to Haiti with the Legionaries of Christ in the summer of 2013. Sports and faith have a huge impact on Joseph's life, helping him forge the virtues of courage, teamwork, responsibility, and patience. Let's welcome Joseph McMahon as a Hometown Hero 2013 Athlete of the Year.
First off, I'd like to thank a few people. Father Jacob Dumont, Mr. Pat McCaskey, and all of Sports Faith International, and my family. My family is always there for me. I mean, they're always on the sideline cheering for me, and the ones who helped me get ready for this. And I'm so grateful for being a Catholic. I'm being raised in the biggest family I can think of. And I also want to thank my coaches, Coach Gully and Coach McClintock. These two coaches have helped, been there for me since the first day of football. I mean, they're still there for me now. There are 14 kids in my family, 8 boys and 6 girls. I'm the 7th child in the family. Sports are a huge part of my family. We have 7 boys that play basketball and football. And when you want to throw a football around the house, there's always somebody to throw one with. And all my brothers are athletes. So my family is also very Catholic. We also say the rosary every night and go to Mass at least twice a week. I'm a junior in high school. I play football and basketball and baseball. I believe that there are many virtues you can learn from sports, such as perseverance and courage. My football team struggled this year. My coach told the team every day after practice, be better than you were yesterday and play for Christ. Before every game, we prayed, and I would also say the Our Father. My sophomore year, my football team was the most dominant team in the conference. We were beating teams by at least 50 points at times. And this past year, my junior year, we moved up 2 conferences. And it was a different, very different story there. It wasn't what we hoped for, but we learned many things as we went along. I believe that the virtues that I learned on the field will stay with me and my teammates for the rest of my life. And again, I just want to thank the people who helped me get here, Father Jacob Dumont, Mr. Pat McCaskey, and all space. Sports Faith International, and go Bears.
Congratulations.
Next award goes to Joseph Perel.
Thank you very much.
What? Did I say that right?
All right.
Hometown Hero Award, Athlete of the Year, Varsity Hockey, for outstanding leadership in sport and in Catholic faith. Joseph is from Mundelein, Illinois, and attends Carmel Catholic High School. After making the All-Star team his freshman year on the JV hockey team, Joseph was moved up to varsity for the rest of his high school hockey career, again, making the All-Star team at varsity. Joseph also plays varsity football and my personal favorite, varsity lacrosse. There you go. Joseph puts his heart and soul into his education at Carmel. All his teachers show their dedication and great enthusiasm in Joseph's academic triumphs. Described by others as always having an optimistic spirit, great work ethic, constantly showing kindness and support to his teammates, and always putting his best on the ice, no matter what the challenge. He out-volunteers nearly everyone in his age and has a tremendous pro-life ethic. Joseph is always helping others and goes above and beyond the mere 40 hours of community service required by Carmel High School. Whether working in a soup kitchen on Thanksgiving, tutoring young athletes in their sports, cleaning up houses for the elderly, or other project and activities at his church or at school, Joseph is always giving of himself. A devout Catholic, Joseph has attended Catholic schools his whole life. He gives thanks to God to being able to have great parents and grandparents that have been such a positive influence in his life and setting the example of devotion to church and community. Let's welcome Joseph Perel as Hometown Hero Award 2013. Athlete of the Year from Mundelein, Illinois.
Hi, my name is Joe Perelli. I'm a senior at Carmel Catholic High School in Mundelein, Illinois. It is with great honor that I accept this award from Sports Faith International. Sports have been part of my life since I can remember. I began playing hockey at the age of 6, and I've spent most of my time working on my skill and dedicating my life to the sport. While I've played varsity football and lacrosse, hockey is my true passion. Through my many triumphs and failures, God has helped me to see that winning isn't everything. I feel that it is my responsibility to keep true to my faith, both on and off the ice. In doing so, I am fulfilling my responsibilities as a true Catholic. Philippians 4:13 suggests that I can do all things through him who strengthens me. This Bible passage has taught me that God is my foundation, and therefore he must be present at all times, whether I'm on the ice or in the classroom. God has brought me here today. However, there are many people who have helped me through my journey. My parents, Chris and Mark, and my beautiful sister, Amory, have been supportive and patient as I consistently decide which path is right for me. Their love and support has played a huge role in my success as a person of Christ. Knowing they are present at every game gives me confidence and peace of mind. I'd also like to thank my Nana and Papa for loving me enough to battle the cold in rinks and in stadiums to watch me play. All my goals and assists are a testament to my Nana's generosity. God bless all the coaches, teachers, aunts, uncles, cousins, and friends who have supported me along my way. I'd like to take a moment to recognize Mrs. Kathy Salvi for nominating me for this award. She has seen me grow not only as an athlete, but a person of Christ. Thank you, Mrs. Salvi. Finally, to the people at Sports Faith International, thank you. In the words of Herb Brooks from the 2004 movie Miracle, great moments are born from great opportunity. This is a great opportunity for me to thank God and the people in my life.
Trying to keep you from tripping again. Thank you. Well, this plaque says Patrick O'Donnell, but I know it's Patrick O'Donnell III. Sorry about that, Patrick. Patrick O'Donnell III, Hometown Hero Award, 2013 Athlete of the Year, Varsity Hockey, and for outstanding leadership in sport and in the Catholic faith. Patrick is from Highland, Indiana, and attends Highland High School. Yay. Yay. Got some fans here, I see. All right. Patrick plays hockey for the Mustang Hockey Club and football from Highland High. A three-year varsity hockey player and current captain of his team, Patrick is an outstanding leader on his team and respected by his peers and coaches. Working hard to improve the team, putting the team above personal goals, helping to improve the skills of others, Patrick is a definition of a team player and a big part of his hockey team being the 2011 ISHSHA 3A state championship. And you wonder why I write this down. Patrick maintains a 3.47 grade point average, is a member of the National Honor Society, a Presidential Academic Award recipient, named 2012 NCC Academic All-Conference, and is in the AP Honors Program. Patrick is a leader in the Diocesan Youth Council and a member since 2009. His Catholic faith is central to Patrick's character. While demonstrating vision and leadership in helping the council plan and execute youth ministry projects, Patrick represents Our Lady of Consolation Catholic Church at the diocesan level. Patrick is currently part of the focus group evaluating best practices for older adolescent catechesis. His sophomore year, Patrick faced having to choose between his future as a varsity football quarterback and his Catholic faith. Patrick had the opportunity to travel to Madrid with the Diocese of Gary to see the Holy Father at World Youth Day. This was in direct scheduling conflict with preseason minicamp and game schedules. Knowing that he would miss the minicamp two-a-days and the first two games as well, his coach made it clear he had to choose between the chance of being the starting quarterback or going to see the Holy Father in Madrid. He went to Madrid. Let's welcome Patrick O'Donnell III as Hometown Hero 2013 Athlete of the Year from Highland, Indiana. All right, grab this. There we go. Good job. We can get to this. Okay.
I didn't know I needed to have something prepared, and he told my story, so this should be interesting. First off, I want to thank my parents, Pat and Kathy O'Donnell, for instilling all these values in me throughout my entire life. My grandma for supporting me in all my events, football, hockey, mass, confirmation, communion, you name it, she was there. I want to thank my aunt, Karen Calloway, who nominated me for this award, and was the key benefactor in allowing me to travel to Madrid for my pilgrimage. To Mr. McCaskey, thank you very much. To all Sports Face International, I greatly appreciate it. And thanks. Go Hawks and go Bears.
Okay, we're in a section of the coaches. All right. Coach John Burke, Hometown Hero Award 2013 Coach of the Year, Varsity Girls Soccer, and for outstanding leadership in sport and in the Catholic faith. Coach John Burke is from New Berlin, Wisconsin, and is coach of Girls Varsity Soccer at Catholic Memorial High School in Waukesha, Wisconsin. Coach Burke, with a record of 382 wins, 45 losses, and 30 ties, has the most wins for a girls high school girls varsity coach in the state of Wisconsin.
That's okay. What?
Oh, I thought I went to go into
the.
No, no, here it is. I got you on, Burke. Okay, did I do it out of order?
That's okay.
Okay. All right. I'll go back. Okay. All right. All right, now you got to go. Okay, from 1996 to 2012, Coach Burke has received 23 different Coach of the Year awards. During the same period, his teams have won 8 state championships, 14 conference championships, and 8 WIAA and Classic Conference Sportsmanship Awards for his teams. In 2003, Coach Burke began the Top Soccer Waukesha, the program for children with special needs. Coach Burke and his wife Mary are dedicated to the Catholic faith and share it with their four daughters. His family support helps make it possible for Coach Burke to serve the special needs community and the girls' soccer team in the state. Coach Burke is an active member of the Holy Apostles Parish, serving on both their Human Concerns Board and School Board, and has led his service trips to Nicaragua, the Dominican Republic, and West Virginia. One of the finest leaders of young people that you will ever meet, let's welcome Coach John Burke, his hometown hero, 2013 Coach of the Year Award.
First of all, I'd just like to thank all the people here who devote themselves to protecting children before they're born. I think that's a beautiful witness to what we're all about, and I think it's extremely important for our faith to promote life in everything we do. I want to thank Kate for her message. I have four daughters. Beautiful daughters over there, and the whole time I was listening to you, Kate, I kept thinking, I hope my daughters are listening carefully, and I know they were, because that's the kind of message that I think young women need to hear. Speaking of out of order, my fourth daughter is actually third in birth order. I'll explain that in a minute. So I know what out of order is all about, but the other thing I was thinking about with Kate, she went to Beijing, the first time I went to Beijing, my visa was denied. I proudly wrote on my visa application that I taught at Catholic Memorial High School. I received a letter from China expressing their concern that I might convert 1 billion people in their country to the Catholic faith. So I had to write a letter back, easing their fears, and have gone to China twice to bring home daughters who we raise in the Catholic faith, and they can't stop us. The most important thing I do is coach the Top Soccer program. It's a program for children with special cognitive and physical needs. And it is one of the most inspiring things. I hope someday everyone in this room will experience what Top Soccer can be. It's a national program. We just had our Winterfest yesterday. We had 100 children with special needs there, and it was breathtaking. I want to tell you about a little boy named Leo, who has a terminal illness, and he can do very little. My beautiful wife does a great job with him at every Top Soccer session, wheeling him around. He can't speak, but he can smile. He can look at us with love. And just talking to his mom afterward, and she said, this program, this Top Soccer program, she knows is contributing deeply to Leo's ability to end his life with happiness and joy. And I don't think there's anything that we can do that's more important than that as coaches. So thank you very much for this award. I'll tell you, one of the greatest honors is to be honored here with my colleague Bill Young, who I have such admiration and respect for. You'll hear him in a moment. And I want to thank Father Paul and Dr. Bob Hall for all that they do for our school, and Bill Summers for nominating me for this award, and just my family, my mom, dad, my daughters, my sister, who's an incredible athlete over there. Thank you for being here, and thank you all.
I was just instructed we got to pause for a minute while we're Change the tape? Okay. Very good. So what I'm going to do is continue with the coaches of the year, and then we're going to go and do the Prayers for Life award. Just in case you're following your program, speaking of out of order. So, and he's going to let me know when the tape gets switched in a minute. Okay, we're up back up there. Where are they? Okay, I was informed to tell you that they have directions to go into the Peyton Center. For those of you that are going, they'll be out front by the door, and so just so you know where you're going. All right. So we're on. Okay. Good. Coach Young,
thank you very much. Appreciate it. Sorry, Grace, we're a little out of order here, so understandable.
All right, Coach Young, Hometown Hero Award 2013, Coach of the Year, Varsity Football, and for Outstanding Leadership in Sport and the Catholic Faith. Coach Bill Young has been the head football coach at Catholic Memorial High School in Waukesha, Wisconsin for 38 years. A record of 282 wins, 103 losses, Coach Young's teams have reached the state finals in the WISAA and WIAA 12 times. While winning five state titles this past season, his Crusaders won the WIAA Division III state championship for the school's first time. Coach Young is a 10-time Coach of the Year Award winner and was named 2012 Coach of the Year by the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. In his 38 years of service, 30 college Division I players have come out of his program. It's quite a feat. Coach Young is a member of the Wisconsin Football Coaches Hall of Fame, Concordia River Forest Hall of Fame, and Catholic Memorial High School Hall of Fame. Coach Young also coaches year-round, and he coaches wrestling and track for over 30 years. Coach Young is truly a legacy at Catholic Memorial, Wisconsin football, and the Catholic community. Immediately following one of the playoff games this past season, Coach Young said, this is during the post-game remarks, he said, now let's thank the big guy upstairs, take a knee. The entire team recited in an Our Father and a Hail Mary, something not often heard on the field of Wisconsin Lutheran. Thought you'd like that. Coach Young successfully teaches his players to have a never-ending faith in their own abilities, to overcome challenges, and to commit to a life bigger than themselves. His players have become champions and men of faith. Coach Young clearly prepares his players to compete on the field, but most importantly, he provides his players with what they need to compete in life. Let's welcome Coach Bill Young, his hometown hero, 2013 Coach of the Year from Wisconsin. Did you get that?
Yes, I did. Thank you.
Very good. Okay. Really, get out of your way. In the seat.
First of all, I would like to thank the Sports Faith International Group for this award. I'm accepting this on behalf of a lot of different people from Catholic Memorial. My principal, Dr. Robert Hall, who is also our offensive coordinator, Dr. Paul Hartman, our president, our coaching staff, and players who made this state championship possible. However, the most important person who allows me to put my heart and soul into Catholic Memorial is my wife, Gail. And we've been married 38 years, and we have three lovely children, grown up now, but you young people here, if you can find a mate, and then if God is your leader, and that between you and your wife or your husband, and then God is the main person in your life, you will definitely have a wonderful experience throughout your days on this earth. I've had the distinct privilege of teaching and coaching at Kath Moran for 38 years. And the young men up here were just great role models. The difference between a Catholic high school and a public high school is about our faith. And that's the first thing that, we always talk about. Incoming students and parents will come down, Coach Young, tell us about Catholic Memorial. And it's that as our faith is our first and foremost thing that, we foster in our experience at Catholic Memorial. Our expectations are that our student athletes live with a strong sense of purpose, meaning, and a tremendous value system. We encourage our athletes to be thankful for their God-given gifts and inspire them to, keep mastering the skills on, on an everyday basis for their own success and the glory to God. Tomorrow is not promised. The question is, what would you give effort-wise for this day? The biggest, one of a lot of different models we talk about at CMH is to get the most out of the least and the best from the best. In closing, many people go through life not enjoying their vocation. God has truly blessed me with a wonderful family. I've had an experience to coach and teach at Catholic Memorial. And Father and I have a running joke. I have a $1 million contract to coach and teach at Memorial. I get $1 a year for $1 million, and it's worth every penny of it. God bless you, and thank you so much.
Yeah, way to go, Coach. All right. At this point in time, I'd like to introduce Mary Ann Harold, who's the director of Prayers for Life, and will present the next award. So let's give it up for Mary Ann Harold.
Well, good afternoon. You are a wonderful group. You are such an inspiration, everyone that chose to come here today and support these wonderful athletes. Let's give an award to our audience. And one more salute to our CEO of Prayers for Life, Our Lady. Could you join me in a Hail Mary for all those who are suffering, for our Pope, for the new Pope that is to be, and for our Catholic faith? Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. That's a Hail Mary. We are very pleased at Prayers for Life to present our award this year to an outstanding coach. His name is Emmett McGovern. I want to share a little about him, why he has been an inspiration to us, how he has gone against the tide of political correctness in his life. See if you see the clues in this little script of why God must be shining down on him, of his standing tall and standing alone. After graduation from St. Mary's University, Emmett McGovern worked on the Board of Trade for many years before returning to his alma mater, St. Patrick's School. There he was the director of student services, a teacher, and a coach. His decision to leave a six-figure income to work where the Lord was calling him required a great personal sacrifice, not only for him, but for his family and his children. At St. Patrick's High in Chicago, Coach McGovern founded a pro-life group called Shamrocks for Life. Any Irish here? The decision met with some restraint and resistance from the school administration, I wonder why, who feared that such a group would divide the faculty. Soon, over 80 Shamrocks were participating in one or more pro-life activities. They would have a monthly meeting, and the officers would decide on the topics. They could range from working at a pro-life a pregnancy center, what is contraception, and you know the rest. Personal discipline is a virtue that Emmett McGovern shines in. He gets up every morning at 5:30 a.m., soon as the clock goes off, just like me, and he goes to Mass because he wants to start the day with the Eucharist. I think all of us who are still looking for a Lenten resolution might think of that as very good suggestion. He also likes to pray during his day. Now, how do you pray if you are so involved in a high school, a coach, and a family member? He does it. He makes a small visit to the Blessed Sacrament every day. And you know that spiritual radiation that comes from Jesus is better than any chemotherapy physically that you could ever receive. And that is the way we're going to get through our life here in our church, communicating and having the relationship that Emmett McGovern has with Jesus, his personal Jesus. And here's a quote from him that we thought was so indicative. He says, "Centering my life on the Holy Eucharist and the life of Christ enables me to get to work on getting myself out of the center of the universe. This helped me to grow in my parish life, as a coach, in the community, as a minister of care, and also trying to put Christ into the center of my activities." Let's give him a rousing cheer for the coach of Prayers for Life years. He has to come up here and get it. He's so shy. I've been looking forward to meeting you, Emmett. God bless you.
Thank you.
God bless you.
I was like Patrick. I wasn't prepared for a little talk either. I want to thank Audrey, start off with Audrey. Thank you for reminding, go to the Holy Spirit, go to the guardian angel, because I've been sitting over there for about 20 minutes now. Come on, guardian angel, help me through this, will you please? I'd like to start by thanking John Zielinski for nominating me. Z-Man, where's he at? He was there. When I got an email telling me about the nomination, I was very surprised, extremely honored. I knew nothing about the group, but I immediately started to look into it and research it a little bit, and very humbled and excited about this opportunity. So I thank John for the nomination, and I thank all those that are involved in this outstanding group of Sports and Faith, Sports Faith International. You know, I have to say, I just feel very blessed in so many different ways. The Lord has been blessing me from the very start. I'm going to start with my parents, who were great examples of faith models for me. It was always a part of our household. And faith and sports, I remember, that has been important for me since as early as I can remember. And I was blessed with all kinds of people in my life that were outstanding examples of faith and sports. I was blessed to be a basketball player and a pretty good one at St. Patrick High School and also at DePaul University before I ended up at St. Mary's University. But I played for two outstanding role models and coaches. I'm sure many of you here will recognize both of these names. Max Curlin at St. Patrick and Ray Meyer at DePaul University. Both are deceased, but both are Hall of Fame, numerous Hall of Fames. And what I remember, I of course remember that they were great basketball coaches and basketball minds. But the thing I remember most about both men was, number one, they both attended Mass every day, and they were never afraid to let us players see them with the rosary in their hands. That's what I remember about those two men. And when I had a faith conversion myself and began attending regular Mass, those were the men that I thought of right away. And I wish, and I got to share that with both of them before they passed away, which meant a lot to me. I'm also Irish, Catholic, okay, Shamrock, and I've never made it through an episode of Little House on the Prairie without crying. So, you know, when I was sitting over there listening to these words, I was overwhelmed, and as I am now. But it's quite an honor. Also blessed with the inspiration to start the Pro-Life Club at St. Pat's. It is true that it wasn't received with open arms when I first proposed the group. But I had to just kind of retool things and go back with a second proposal and dig my feet in and ensure that the administration that I wasn't doing this to separate the faculty, and it wasn't going to be a confrontational thing. And so the club got started. So I want to thank, you know, my principal, Dr. Joseph Schmidt, and our president, Conrad Diebold, for allowing the group to get started. But I also want to say that the inspiration for the group started through friendship with a man by the name of Will Ray, who's a basketball coach, and I believe a former recipient of an award here. My friendship with Will was deepened my faith greatly and was an inspiration in doing something like this at St. Patrick, which has brought that March for Life. If anybody has been there, knows what an inspiration and a powerful experience that is. And if you haven't been there, I would encourage you to try to put that on your calendar for next January. But I've talked enough. Thank you so much for this honor, and it hit me right here, and I know that I will be a part of this group in the future with joy and honor. Thank you. I got to come back for just a minute because I'm walking back there. I'm thinking, I never said anything about my wife. And my daughter is here, and I know my wife is in Florida, so my wife was responsible for bringing me back into the faith. So she had a little bit to do with this. God put her in my life at a time when I was not attending regular Mass. And I would not say that I was not praying at all, but my faith was pretty dormant and almost non-existent. And God put her into my life, and she started dragging me to church on Sundays before we got married. And God became a part of our lives very, very quickly. And he blessed us with four children, and I'm blessed with my one oldest daughter sitting in for my wife, who's a teacher, a second grade teacher at Our Lady Perpetual Help, and actually has one of her students watching out for her here today. But I got to end with that. Thank you.
Oh, yeah, you could just leave that. That'd be great.
All right, in just a few minutes, we are going to be proceeding to the Peyton Center for the induction ceremony, where we'll Montini Catholic High School and Aurora Christian High School will be honored for an extraordinary example of sports being used in the service of the Holy Spirit. But we didn't want to miss the opportunity to have everyone here hear about the incredible story of Johnny Weiger. I'd like to invite Bob Landy, who should be right behind me, and Dan Beebe to the podium to tell about this.
Thanks. Thank you. Speaking of brides, my wife, whenever I put on these glasses to read, I don't really need them. I use them because it makes me look more intelligent. My bride of 37 years always says to me when I say that line, "You need all the help you can get there, buddy." It is my honor to share the story of Johnny Weiger with all of you today. And Dan will be up here in a moment as well to give you the perspective and introduce a video that has been done on the two schools coming together. Johnny was a freshman in 2011 at Montini Catholic High School. And Johnny was a young man that constantly prayed the rosary and demonstrated his faith. And just important to Johnny his faith in God was his football career. And he was a football player, wore number 76 his freshman year. In November of his freshman year, the family received the news that all of us would dread who have children. Your son has leukemia. He's probably done playing football for now, and we have a very regimented procedure we're going to try and put him through to try and resolve this issue. And through the course of the year, Johnny battled leukemia, went through a bone marrow transplant, had several highs, several lows, but constantly battled. And it was in September of this past fall that a few families came in and talked with us at Montini and said, we'd like to do one of our football games and let's do a benefit. Let's raise some money because the medical bills are now into the millions of dollars. So we got together with administrators, parents of football families, president of our booster club, and sat down one afternoon to select a night and a game that we would donate proceeds from that game to the Johnny Weiger Fund. I had a date all picked out. Being the athletic director, you get to do those things. Sat down with the group, no one agreed with my date. I thought it made a lot of sense. We were going to play a large school in our conference, big population, should be a big turnout. Didn't work out. We looked at a number of different home dates in October. Agreed upon a date of October 19th. Not my favorite date, not my favorite opponent that night because it was a relatively small school. Actually, the smallest school in our conference, a little over 300 high school students, Aurora Christian. And in my mind, thought, could we raise $3,000 to $4,000 with a small opponent? Is that possible? And as Audrey had said earlier, talking about the Holy Spirit, wasn't my plan, it was God's plan. Because as it became and began to unwind, first thing I did was to call my counterpart. You know, everybody knows who Don Beebe is. Anybody who knows football knows Don Beebe. He's a famous football player. Well, he has his very infamous brother, Dan Beebe, who's the athletic director at Aurora Christian. I called Dan, and I said, Dan, I said, here's the situation. You're aware of Johnny Weiger. We had talked about it in our athletic directors' meetings earlier in the year. And we were all praying for Johnny and his family. And I said, Dan, we're going to try and raise a couple of dollars. Family's got major medical bills, major bills with this. I'd like to see if we can raise maybe $3,000 to $4,000, maybe $5,000 if it's at all possible. The night we play you guys here at Montini. Dan said, sure, Bob, no problem at all. What do you have in mind? I said, well, how about if we start the game off with your players and our players together at the middle of the field, and we all say a prayer for Johnny's family and for Johnny before the game begins. So Dan said, no problem at all. I said, we're going to have orange and black night. Orange was Johnny's favorite color, and many of you may know leukemia is represented by the color orange. So we're going to have orange and black out. Dan, if there's any way you can get your community to wear orange and black. I figure if we get a couple of kids maybe in orange and black on both sides of the stadium, that would show great support to the family. Dan said, no problem. I said, we're going to be selling T-shirts that night, Dan, if you can let your families know. All benefits from the T-shirts are going to go to the Weiger Fund. And also, we're going to be selling candy that night. Again, if we can raise a couple of dollars, it certainly will help. Dan said to me, Bob, if you don't mind, could you put it in an email so I can make sure I get all the details covered? I said, no problem at all. So that afternoon, I wrote a short email to Dan outlining what we had talked about. Little did I know, Dan was going to forward it to every member of their community at Aurora Christian. Friday night came. I'm walking down to our stadium, and in our parking lot are a sea of orange and black outfits. Not only Montini fans in orange and black, but most of Aurora Christian's fans coming in are in orange and black. I walk into the stadium and the Aurora Christian cheerleaders hand-painted signs with biblical scripture for healing for Johnny Weiger. Fans from both sides were coming over and looking at those signs. I was already getting wound up thinking, this isn't just an ordinary evening. This is something special.
At the beginning of the football game, Aunt Vanessa arrives, Johnny's aunt, Mom's sister, to lead us in prayer with our principal, Mary Ann O'Neill. But before that, the Aurora Christian football team comes out into the stadium, and each one of their helmets on the back has number 76 in an orange football stickered on it. Each Aurora Christian football coach wearing a black jacket with Johnny Weiger sticker on its jacket. So we begin the evening with a prayer at the center of the field, both teams together collectively at the center, and Aunt Vanessa leads us in prayer. Immediately after the prayer, I go to the sidelines, and I get told on our radio, you need to come over to the garage. There's a group of people here who want to see you. My first thought was, what did we do now? What kid threw a football in the end zone and hit some poor guy on crutches going to the stadium seats? What happened? What's going on? What do we do? Because that's where your thought goes. I start walking over to the corner of the stadium where a small group of people are standing, and they're smiling. My thought is, well, this can't be bad. They're smiling. And I walk over, and it's the booster leadership from Aurora Christian High School. And they hand me a $5,000 check for the Johnny Weiger Fund. 2 minutes later, a parent, a mother and father come over, hand me a check for $1,000 from the Aurora Christian family community. Throughout that evening, I kept accepting funds from the Aurora Christian community, almost $7,000 from that community, our opponent that evening. We had kids in the stand selling candy and T-shirts. They kept coming back saying, Mr. Landy, they don't want to give us, they give us money, they don't want to take the product. I said, are you thanking them? Oh, yeah. The more we thank them, the more money they give us. I said, go back and thank them some more. Between our gate that evening, our booster club's generosity as well with the leadership of Alice Mick that night, we collected over $15,000 for the Johnny Weiger Fund. The story doesn't end there. That evening, driving home, I said to my wife, did you feel it? She said, yeah. I said, you know what I'm talking about? She said, yeah. God was in that stadium that night. Did we play a football game? She said, I think we did. Unfortunately, a couple of weeks later, Johnny passed on November 4th of this past year. School administration got together because a lot of the students said to us, Mrs. O'Neill, Mr. Segredo, we want to go to the funeral mass Thursday. Can we get out of school? And by our calculations, we thought it was maybe 150. We have a 700 student school. We figured it was maybe 150, 200 kids. And we said, okay, yeah, we can do that. And then about two-thirds of our faculty said, we're going to go to the mass Thursday. Can you get us substitute? We don't have enough substitutes to cover that. So we decided that we were going to take the day off in honor of Johnny. And we got a number of buses that came to the campus. We probably took from campus about 150 kids. And I was a chaperone on one of those buses going to the church where Johnny's service was going to be. We pull up into the parking lot, and there's a sea of high school students going into the church. And I walked into the church, and there were already at least 200 to 250 kids from Montini who drove themselves with their parents to that church for that service. And I remember the pastor coming up to me. He said, you look official. I said, I'm only an athletic director. He said, that's good enough for us. If we don't get to fill in the middle, because the kids were all very respectfully sitting on both wings of the church, and the middle was open. When the family arrives and the hearse arrives, Mr. Lanny, would you fill in the middle with the kids because we want the family to feel that comfort? And as the pastor was talking to me, I said, Father, I don't think it's going to be a problem. Is your church big enough for what's coming? And that church was packed. And if you've ever been around high school kids, especially a couple of hundred or so, they make a lot of noise.
But you could have heard a pin drop that day in that service. And after that service, as those kids were leaving, you could still hear that pin drop. And out of that service, the kids were filing out, and I turned and looked to my right, and there's the administration from Aurora Christian, the football coaching staff, the team captains, all coming out. They had attended the service as well. As only God would have the story go, Aurora Christian qualified to get into the state final 3A football championship this year, as did we in Class 5A. Aurora Christian played Friday night. We took our kids to that game. We supported Aurora Christian that evening. The next day, we played at 10 o'clock in the morning. Who shows up in the stands in all orange t-shirts, black jackets? Aurora Christian's entire football program, and they were there for our game as well. And it was interesting, if you watched any of the state high school final playoffs, television, you know, normally they'll cover when the kids do something wrong very easily. You know, if a kid gets shot doing something or gets caught doing something, everybody's in all the papers. This didn't make a lot of publicity, but it was covered on TV. They did talk about it Friday night. They did talk about it Saturday. And the story still lives, and it's growing. It's about two schools that came together. And I've often asked myself, why? Why, Lord? Why did we go down this path? And on top of it, I might add, Aurora Christian won the state title. We were very fortunate as well. We were very fortunate as well to have won this year, again, another state title, which is great. And I've often asked, why, Lord, why? And you know why? Because he can. If you've ever seen the movie Facing the Giants, it's a great movie. If you haven't seen it, it's on a DVD. Why does God do great things? Because he can. Now, I finished my notes this morning, my comments this morning, and I was doing some little prayerful reading, and in my daily bread little thing that I do each day, I read this. And the first thing is from Philippians, first quote, "When believers in Christ work together in unity, their fellowship of faith provides spiritual light in the world's darkness." That's from Philippians. In Matthew 5 says, Jesus said, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify the Father in heaven." That's what I believe the story is all about. I believe two schools came together like no other. I've been coaching for 40 years, and this is the greatest story I've ever been a small part of. And with that, I'd like to introduce the infamous athletic director at Aurora Christian, Dan Beebe.
Thank you, Bob. There's no way words that I can speak will give you kind of the story that God has orchestrated here, but I'll give it a try. Aurora Christian humbly was honored by the email that and that phone call that we received from Bob, that God would choose our school. And one of these young men talked a little about the least among us. Okay, in the Suburban Christian Conference, we are the least among them. We play against schools that have 700-800 kids, and we have right around 300 kids. So God chose us. There's no doubt as you look through the story, God chose us. And he obviously works in very mysterious ways. Unfortunately, Johnny didn't make it. But his impact through this united two schools. And I agree with Bob, made the story a whole lot bigger than the actual sporting event that happened. When Bob sent me the email, I didn't know, you know, other than to do my job was to send it on to our community. So I sent it out, and within hours, from our administration, through our parents, through even our kids, they're like, yeah, we want to be a part of this. This is something that we want to definitely be a part of. Going into that evening and talking to some of the people, it just started kind of having a big mushroom from there on how this was going to evolve. Let me paint a small picture about the actual game that night. And I think the important thing out of this whole thing is it was never about the actual game. Two very competitive teams, two undefeated teams in conference, Montini, a three-time state champion, us, one-time state champion, media there, everything you had to talk about the actual game. And after the game, when it came down to the very end, and a young man stripped our kid of a fumble and they scored with a minute left, I think people walked away from that, you know what, exactly what sports is all about. It was more than the actual game. And I think when you look at sports nowadays, it is a lot about the I and the me. And what we have found through our relationship here with Montini and the opportunity to come alongside them is it became so much about them or others and not ourselves. And Montini was the exact same way. It was about sportsmanship. It was about playing hard, yes. It was about making it through a team event, not as an individual. In the end, Johnny lived out his faith, and it was a very difficult thing, obviously, when I got that phone call that he did not make it. And excuse me. But the impact that Johnny had on so many lives, more than just Montini, more than just Aurora Christian, we're hoping that his impact impacts so many different lives, because we want, through athletics, to know that there's so much more than winning and losing. It's about faith. It's about perseverance. It's about courage. It's about sportsmanship. It's about a lot more than a simple game of winning and losing. I do have a brother that played at the highest level. I played at the college level. Sports will always end as an athlete. It does. Kay will tell you at some point it's going to end for her if it hasn't already. I'm not sure. But athletics end, okay? But life does not. It goes on. And I just want to show you a very short clip here of something that Dan Anderson, somebody at our school, put together that had something to do with the actual game.
Was so touching to him and to us. He thought that was amazing. And when I showed him the DVD of the game, he was just in awe, totally speechless. And all he really did was cry and say, why?
I just wanted to express our thankfulness for Aurora Christian and the entire Aurora Christian family. We were really moved by Aurora Christian's support. All the kind words and emails really felt your prayers and well wishes.
Because it did mean a lot to us, more than people will probably ever know. Because unless you walk in the shoes, it's hard to tell how it affects us. It's very emotional and very overwhelming. I think the story will continue to inspire people. My hope is that others will look at this and learn and do as my team member Christian did.
He was a fighter. He did everything he could. And I miss him a lot.
My name is Bob Landy, and I serve as the athletic director here at Montini Catholic High School. By the grace of God, I cannot tell you how moved we were here at Montini as Aurora Christian fans were showing up in droves, in black, in orange, offering their prayers. I don't think there was a dry eye in that part of the stadium when our fans started to arrive and saw the signs that your cheerleaders obviously spent hours putting together and going scripture together. It was very, very moving. And as you all know, we had the prayer before the game, and Coach Beebe and his staff was gracious enough to come out to the center of the field, and with our kids, everyone took a knee while our principal, Mary Ann O'Neill, led us all in prayer. That was a moving experience for me personally as well. You could feel the presence of God and the Holy Spirit in that stadium that night. There was no doubt in my mind that God was present. A number of your people from your booster club were gracious enough to come over and ask if they could talk to me. They came over and offered a significant check to the Johnny Wyatt Fund. I was overwhelmed. I never imagined something like that occurring. And through the evening, I received a number of checks from Aurora Christian fans that came forward, and they totaled close to $7,000. Your football team wearing the number 76 stickers on the back of their helmets, your coaching staff in black with the stickers on their jackets, all of that was noticed. The demonstration of your faith in our community was not going unnoticed. It was absolutely phenomenal. And my wife and I, on the drive back, said a prayer for your community, as well as that evening before we went to bed. And what a demonstration of faith and belief in God and Jesus Christ that you people in your community demonstrated that evening. The state finals are great for both schools. And I hope all of you players that are viewing this video and your highlight of your season understand the impact you have made, not just for yourselves and your own community, but to the Montini community as well, has been overwhelming. I've heard people coming up to me and talking to me that watched the game, your game on TV Friday night and our game Saturday morning, and the first thing they talk about is Johnny Wyger and the support that Aurora Christian provided Montini. God bless you all, and thank you so much from the bottom of my heart and all of us here at Montini Catholic High School. You are something special, and you will be that way for the remainder of my life, for sure. God bless.
Number 76 on the back of their helmet. This is actually a tribute to Johnny Wyger, a player from Montini who lost his battle with cancer a couple weeks ago. So it's a really, really nice support, showing us support and solidarity, guys.
You know, and in fact, the Montini team is in attendance today, honoring Aurora Christian for that show of support, and it will be reversed tomorrow when Montini plays the 5A championship game against Morris. The entire Aurora Christian team will be right here at Memorial Stadium showing their mutual support.
It's such a great display of character and sportsmanship that these teams have came together to honor a student like this. You know, I mean, we were privy to kind of the email chain that went about this as the athletic directors and coaches all corresponded to one another, and you could really feel the sincerity and how they were pulling their teams together in order to honor this kid.
The Aurora Christian Eagles sit behind me, the Class 3A champions. They are here in support of Montini. They were part of a fundraising effort for Johnny Weiger, a sophomore football player for Montini, who lost his battle with leukemia during the quarterfinals. Aurora Christian Montini, of course, conference mates. And Aurora Christian helped raise nearly $8,000 for the Johnny Weiger Medical Fund. Montini Broncos are wearing 76 helmet decals. His picks, Fran and Carl, are standing on the sidelines in support of Johnny's teammates.
Thank you, Sophia. It's a cold day in Champaign, but that story just gives you chills. There's Don Beebe, and what a great effort on behalf of Johnny Weiger and his family. As we talked to Chris Andriano about Johnny Weiger earlier this week, Jack, and said he was a great kid. All of our kids loved him. Played inspired football that week that he died, and he was definitely on their minds. And what a great... Just the cooperation, the great, you saw Don Beebe before the game with Johnny Weiger's parents on the sideline. It's everything that's good about high school athletics.
Well, that's very true, and it's amazing that two schools that are such rivals can come together for a common cause like that. And such a wonderful cause it is, and it also brings their communities together. But more than that, it brings the two teams and the young men together to realize there's more to it than a game of football.
Absolutely. And the Montini players were here last night for the Aurora Christian game. It's a tragic story, the loss of a young man, but what came out of it is very inspiring.
In the end, it's this. The moral of the story is: it's not about Montini, it's not about Aurora Christian. It's about God teaching us through sports, love and faith. And it is my honor to introduce today the parents of Johnny Weiger, Fran and Carl Weiger.
Before we give thanks to Almighty God, I just want to say thank you to all of our speakers and the powerful witness of faith that we've heard from everyone. I know we're all eager to get to Mass, but I don't think they'll start without me, so... If I could just add an epilogue to the Johnny story, I do believe from the eyes of faith that Johnny did make it. And Johnny has received his eternal reward and is in a place where we all hope to be someday. I want to thank Kate Ziegler for a very powerful keynote talk and the witness of her faith in the face of adversity and a reminder of what St. Paul says, when I'm weak, I'm strong. Audrey Zavatsky gave us a wonderful presentation there. As I was watching her video of the race car drivers, I really got an adrenaline rush just watching it. I can imagine what you go through in the race car and with the Thunderbirds. But as I was watching the race cars, I was reminded of my good friend Ed Grossman, who's here. That's the way he drives. On the Dan Ryan Expressway. And the story that Matt gave about the Calgary Flames hockey game when the Blackhawks overcame a 5-0 deficit. That's a true story, and he had all the essential facts there. A couple of details that I want to add to that is the fact that the referee for that game was Kerry Fraser. Not that that had any difference on the game. Kerry, by the way, has the record for the most games refereed in the National Hockey League, and I think the best referee ever to put on the stripes in the National Hockey League. Also a man of profound faith, and you'll be hearing from him this afternoon at the Peyton Center when he is also acknowledged and receives an award. One other detail about that, when I was talking to the Calgary Flames in the restaurant the night before the game, to Coach Brent Sutter, one of six Sutter brothers, who are a very prominent family in the National Hockey League, who's the head coach of the Calgary Flames, and I told him about that blessing. I said, you know, the blessing is good against everyone except the Blackhawks. Well, he and the coaching staff laughed. And I said, quite seriously, you think I'm kidding? And so the next day, when the Flames jumped out to a 5-0 lead, I was there with my brother Joe, and I said, Joe, you know, the coaches must be thinking on the bench right now, boy, that Bishop with his blessings, we've got a 5-0 lead, his blessings must not be very good. I said, well, we'll see what they say after the game. So now, it was only about a month before that I had the opportunity to skate with the Columbus Blue Jackets of the National Hockey League. I was giving a talk in Columbus and was invited. The organizer of the event was able to arrange for me to skate with the Blue Jackets at practice. And it was during their training camp. It was in October. And the Nationwide Arena in Columbus, Ohio has two sheets of ice. And so they had a lot of players on both sheets of ice. Now, they had made the arrangements with the coaching staff, but apparently didn't tell the players about me. And so I went there and I met the head coach, Ken Hitchcock, who is now the head coach over at St. Louis. But he said to me, well, we've got a lot of players out here on this sheet. I've got two goalies here. There's only one goalie on the other sheet of ice. Why don't you go over there? Got some more players over there. So I did. Now, I've got my helmet on, and I step on the ice, and I hear some players say, oh, good, we got another goalie. They put me in the net and proceeded with practice. After the practice, there was a reporter there and asked one of the players said, well, how did you like shooting against the Bishop? And the player said, what Bishop? He said, the other goalie in there in the nets there was a Catholic bishop. He said, I didn't know that. So I had a regular practice with an NHL team firing away at me. And talk about getting your adrenaline going. So that was really pretty good. So, but in all that, and all the great accomplishments that we had, by the way, I think those are the two miracles that I'll need. So if you remember that, that's... cause for sainthood. But in all that we've heard today, we give God the glory, and so let us close with a word of prayer and glory and thanks to God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear God, we thank you for your incredible creation, for all that you have given us in this world. We thank you for the gifts and abilities that you have given to the athletes here and to all of their accomplishments. We thank you even more so for their gift of faith and profound ways that the faith has shaped their lives and also shapes the lives of others. We thank you for the tremendous witness and testimony that they have given through their lives of faith and sports. And we thank you for the meal that we have received and those who have prepared it for us and for the time that we have spent with each other here. And as we go forth now to celebrate the sacred mysteries, we ask you to be with us and guide us in all that we think and say and do. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.